Welcome, everybody, to Martinsville Community Methodist. It is a beautiful day outside, as usual, and we rejoice that we all are here. I'd like to take this time to open in a word of prayer. Lord, we want to thank you for the opportunity to be here and to be a witness and testimony here in Martinsville. Pray, Lord, that you will guide our service. Let us hear the beautiful songs we sing to you. And know, Lord, that you are with us. We rejoice that you've kept this ministry here in the community for so many years. And we know that you love us dearly. And so as we worship you, we ask that you continue to bring joy to our hearts and give us a passion for your word and going out and sharing the gospel message with those around us. And we ask this in the name of Christ our King. Amen. And join me in the call to worship. In the light of this day, we have gathered. We are a community that is one, bringing our questions and our joy. In the song and silence, we will listen. What is it that God would have us hear this day? In our praise and in our prayers, we will remember that God's glory shines around us and within. So let us worship God. Open your hymnals to page 813. 813, you'll find Psalms 93. Please read it with me. The Lord reigns and is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed and girded with strength. The Lord has established the world. It shall never be moved. Your throne has been established from old. You are from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lifted up their roaring. Mightier than the thunders of waters, mightier than the waves of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty. Your decrees are very sure. Holiness benefits your house, O Lord, forevermore. So is a reading of the psalm. Our reading today comes from Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. On that day, when evening came, he said to them, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd, they took him along with them in a boat, just as he was, and the other boats were with him. And there arose a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat, and so much that the boat was already filling up. Jesus himself was in the stern asleep on a cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he got up and rebuked the wind and the sea. "Hush, be still." The wind died down and it became perfectly calm. And he said to them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" And they became very much afraid and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Let us pray. Father in heaven, as we open your text and try to understand your power and your glory, give us insight and an understanding of what all this means. So many of us do not understand this story. So many of us just know that Jesus is a kind, loving God, and yet he wields such tremendous power. So as we walk through these texts, please give us understanding. And we ask this in the name of Christ our King. Amen. First, I want to note on this text, it's in Mark 4, 35 through 41. The same story is in Luke chapter 8, 22 through 25, and in Matthew 8, 23 through 27. So it appears in three Gospels. And it relates to the power of God. And I think many of us have trouble understanding the story because our American society, we are a very powerful people. We do not fear Iran. We do not fear Russia. We don't fear China. In fact, there is no king on earth that we do not fear. And I would even go as far to say that we don't even fear God himself. We threaten people. We threaten kings and countries. We assassinate leaders. We use our great financial empire to put sanctions on people. We wield our mighty army. We send our jets and our fighters and our rockets and our bombs. We don't fear anybody. We pour rockets down on people. We thrust bombs down on bunkers upon our enemy. We even threaten them with nuclear destruction. It's happening right now as we watch the world come apart. We've heard this over and over again. Let's go over there and blow Iran up with a nuclear bomb. These are what our leaders are saying, with no fear whatsoever. And of course, you've read it in the news. We shoot down their drones. We shoot down their rockets from the sky. No matter what they send at us, with absolute certainty, theirs will not strike our base or equipment. Then we build planes and we build ships that will stand through mighty storms. I'm sure you've seen the films. Oh, the weather is terrible, gigantic waves, but there are some of our boats out there taking them on, never to be sunk. And of course, then we've got all those submarines. They will work regardless whether the waves are high, whether the storm is fierce. You can't stop one of our submarines. And then we have buildings that can stand any gale. And in fact, any form of nature God throws at us. Earthquakes, tornadoes, hurricanes, storms, waves. We seem to have a solution for it all. We just use our technology and we build buildings and other facilities and vessels that can take on those challenges. So we consider ourselves powerful. We consider ourselves a powerful nation, a nation that is indestructible, a nation that can't even be destroyed by God. This is what I see who we are. There is a contrasting story in the Bible about Elijah and King Ahaz. 2 Kings chapter 1, verses 1 through 16. Now, Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab. Ahaz fell through the lattice in his upper chamber, which was in Samaria, and became ill. So he sent messengers and said to them, "Go inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, where I will recover from this sickness." But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah, the Tishbite, "Arise and go and meet the messenger of the king of Samaria, and say to them, 'It is because there is no God in Israel that you're going to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron?' Now, therefore, thus says the Lord, 'You shall not come down from your bed where you've gone up to. You shall surely die.' Then Elijah departed. When the messenger returned to him, he said to them, 'Why have you returned?' They said to him, 'A man came up to me and said to us, "Go and return to the king who sent you and say to him, "Thus says the Lord, it is because there is no God in Israel that you are sending to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron. Therefore, you shall not come down from your bed where you've gone up, but surely die." He said to them, "What kind of man was he that came up to meet you and spoke these words to you?" They answered him. He was a hairy man with a leather girdle bound about his loins. And he said, "It is Elijah the Tishbite." Then the king said to him, "A captain of 50 with his 50. And he went up to him, and behold, he was sitting on top of a hill. And he said to him, "O man of God, the king says, come down." Elijah replied to the captain of 50, "If I am a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50. Then fire came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. So he again sent to him another captain of 50 with his 50. And he said to him, "O man of God, thus says the king, come down quickly." Elijah replied to them, "If I am a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50. Then the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. So he again sent a captain a third 50 with his 50. When the third captain of the 50 went up, he came down and bowed on his knees before Elijah and begged him and said to him, "O man of God, please let my life and the lives of my 50 servants of yours be precious in your sight. Behold, fire came down from heaven and consumed the first two captains of 50 with their 50s, but now let my life be precious in your sight." The angel of the Lord said to Elijah, "Go down with him. Do not be afraid of him." So he arose and went down with him to the king. Then he said to him, "Thus says the Lord, because you've sent messengers to inquire Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, it is because there is no god in Israel to inquire of his word. Therefore, you shall not come down from the bed where you've gone up, but you shall surely die." Now, I read this to you because, number one, the king, Ezra, clearly had no respect for God or his prophets. In fact, you can hear the disdain in the story that Elijah came and said that. And he knew who he was. Very familiar with him. And the king thought he was powerful and he could send this powerful, mighty army. And he had other gods to call on and rely upon for his power. But yet here it is. One man sitting on a hill reduced his powerful army to ashes with just a spoken word. Not once, but twice. This was a demonstration of the power of God. The contrast to this story and what's going on now is very, very real. Because you see, we think we're powerful here in America. Our government thinks they're powerful. Our leaders think they can do anything. Just like the king in the story, he could stand up against God. He had no respect for God. God meant nothing to him. And yet, the story ends with him dying and his army reduced to ashes. Now, be honest with you, God is powerful, and people do not realize that. And many don't even think God exists. And our societies that we live in look for powerful characters and powerful people. In fact, looking at our own modern days, we see that this whole fantasy world, people like movie characters that have power. Not just that they have authority, but they themselves have power, that they're not working for another. And here in our America, we have specific superheroes that exhibit this power. They have power over nature. They have power over mighty enemies, just using their magical powers. We have characters like Captain America, Hulk, Guardians of the Galaxy. And of course, Thor. And I'm sure I'm behind the times. These are just ones that I'm familiar with. And I'm sure there's a whole bunch more that have come out at the times I saw these movies. And their power rivals even the gods. And in fact, I think with the Thor movie, they were talking about these people were gods. And we're just like other societies. They seek for power, power to dominate. And I think the United States sports scene is a good example of that. We raise up and lift up the people that have the power to dominate the sport, have the power to dominate the field. The reality is this all comes from a fantasy world, a world that's really not real. Even our sports events, when you get right down to it, are a nice game, but it's just a game. None of it is real. And people pay dearly for this entertainment. The story that I told today of Jesus calming the storm has an impact and is very relevant to today, but especially has an impact on my wife and I because of the places we've lived. We spent a number of years in the Philippines, and we would go around in boats, and the reality was there, boats would go out, but they would not come back. People would just disappear. There'd be no word as to what happened, absolute silence, and people would just wait, and they just didn't come back. No one knew what happened. And I want to tell you a story about some of our experiences of living in the Philippines. We would go out to an island called Apo Island. And this was a wonderful place to go snorkeling. Beautiful, beautiful reefs. It was a sanctuary. And I remember one particular time we went out, and we would go out in, there would be a long canoe-type boat, and they would have those little side things that kind of keep it balanced, okay? And so when the water gets rough, well, one time we went out, we took a family with us that was a missionary family from Papua New Guinea, their mom and dad and a couple of their daughters. And as we were going, the waves really got serious. I mean, they were way over our head, and we were going up and down. The guy that was driving the boat, he was Filipino, put on an old World War II, I mean original World War II army helmet he'd gotten from his grandfather because he knew it was dangerous, that helped protect him. The girls sang songs unto God because they were absolutely terrified. And actually, so were we too. But we all hung on and God got us back. But we have gained an appreciation of how dangerous it is to be out in the water with a small craft without all these fancy gizmos. There's no radio to call for help. If we went under, we'd be one of those people that just disappeared. And the same is when we served our time in Brazil on the Amazon River. It was a dangerous river. We had tides every day that were 12 feet. 12 feet down, goes out. Then when high tide is over, or low tide is over, they would come back and water would be 12 feet higher than it was previously. This happened every day. And for a while there, we had a putt-putt boat. I don't know if any of you saw the movie African Queen where they had the putt-putt boat with Bogart. I love that show. Putt-putt-putt-putt-putt-putt. Well, that's the type of boat we had. Little 8-horsepower motor. There we go, putt, 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 as we went down the river. Sometimes we wish we could get out and walk on the water because it would be faster than we were going. And sometimes the current coming back at us would be going faster than we were. So it was a slow boat. But remember one time that we were coming back and the water was tremendously dangerous, waves cracking over the side, and this is a river. Not an ocean, this is a river. And we had waves cracking over the boat. And we remember it so vividly because when we looked off the side, right off the side, almost you could touch it, there were pink dolphins. And it's the first time we'd seen pink dolphins, you know, just so close to you. So we're excited about that part, but it just was really a dangerous time to be out in the water. And so from our personal experience, we've learned that out on the water, it's dangerous. And it helps us understand the fear of the fishermen that we find in the story, and that there's a big difference between the fantasy world we live in and real life, especially when you're out in these type waters. So I want to get back to the story. In fact, I want to tell it as a story. Because you see, Jesus was teaching. It's been teaching all day, and it was getting towards the end of the day. And they said, let's get on a boat and go to the other side. And so Jesus said, yeah, let's do it. So they all went down. Jesus got on one boat, and a bunch of his disciples piled in. And then there was lots of other people, and they all piled in different boats, and they headed out onto the water. Now, Jesus was exhausted from the day's teaching, so he found a place in the back. There was a nice pillow, and he just curled up on the bench, and he was sound asleep in no time. And the disciples, of course, you know, quite a few of them were fishermen, and so they knew exactly how to handle the boat out of the water. But as they were going along, the waves kept beating the boat, and then the waves start coming into the boat, and then the boat started to fill up. And these people were beyond concern. These seasoned fishermen were in panic, and they went back, and they woke Jesus. They said, Jesus, what are you doing? We're going to drown. Don't you care? He stretched, and he got up. He looked at him. He walked to the front of the boat. And he said, wind, stop. Water, be still. And all of a sudden, the wind immediately stopped, and the water was calm and looked like glass. And he turned to them, said, why are you afraid? Where is your faith? Now these men in the boat, now they were terrified at what they'd seen Jesus do. I love the story because the story points out how Jesus wields power, not fantasy power, but real, raw power that he can stop the storm. And note, the men in the boat were seasoned fishermen, and they were terrified. They were terrified because they knew that through their experience, the boat could go down and nobody'd know it. They knew that the water can kill and that people go out and they don't come back, just like our experiences living in the Philippines and both in Brazil. And to see that Jesus was sleeping with no fear and no concern. And of course, he had no fear or no concern because he holds the power. He's in control. He can stop that storm anytime he wants. In demonstrating his power, he showed that all he had to do was speak a word, not shout, not dance, not do some rain dance to some god, but he just spoke the word. And the wind and the sea obeyed. So I ask, are you afraid? Same question Jesus asked them. Why are you afraid? This is a question just not for the disciples in the boat, but it's also for you and I. Fear, according to the story, fear is an indication of lack of faith, which is what the story seems to indicate, that if Jesus is in control of things, why do you fear? If Jesus can make the storm stop and has the power to wield and to exercise, why were they afraid? And why are we afraid at times? Because we know if God is for us, who can be against us? And then in verse 41, it says, they became very much afraid and said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? They'd never seen Jesus wield such power. They may have seen Jesus raise people from the dead, heal the sick, but this was raw power. And I can tell you, they no longer felt safe around Jesus because he was the God-man. He had the power of God in his voice. And all he had to do was speak a word, and anything he said would be done. So I want you to think about this, the points from this message, that Jesus is and can be a very gentle man. He is filled with compassion and with love. And these are the things we like to talk about, especially about being Methodist. We like to see the good that God is doing, and we like to see the good that is in men in general. But there's this other side. Because Jesus is most powerful. One word can stop the wind, the waves, the storm. Not just the physical storms, but also the storms of life. And Jesus is the real thing. He's not some fantasy character in a movie or some character out of a book. Yes, the Bible's a book, but he's not a character that is derived from the book. Jesus is a real person. Jesus sits at the right hand of God. Jesus still wields power. And he wields the power for our benefit because we follow him. So if Jesus has the power to deliver you from any situation you might experience, then hold on to his hope. Because not only does he offer us hope, he has the ability to fulfill that hope. Keep that in mind next time you're afraid. Open your hymnals to page 888. 888, Affirmation of Faith from Corinthians. Join me. This is the good news which we've received, in which we stand, and by which we are saved. Christ died for our sins, was buried, and was raised on the third day, and appeared first to the women, then to Peter and the 12, and then to many faithful witnesses. We believe Jesus is the Christ, anointed one of God, firstborn of the creation, firstborn from the dead, in whom all things hold together, in whom the fullness of God was pleased to dwell by the power of the Spirit. Christ is the head and the body of the church, and the blood of the cross reconciles us all things to God. Amen. Let us close with the benediction. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and hope, encourage our hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. Amen.